Welcome, welcome. Good afternoon. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned in to Radiance by Design. That's what you're going to learn to do, and I'm learning to do as well. Radiance by Design means that we can choose how we radiate into life, how we move our energy into the status quo, and how we make our presence felt. And are we a contributor? Are we a distractor? Are we disruptors? What are we as we go through? We're all vibrational vehicles of light. I work with a stable of guides and angels, which they just finished explaining to me is getting a lot bigger. It's that they function like kind of like a library. They give us many different perspectives, so we get a greater perspective on what's happening on the planet and what's happening in your life. And my show is a call-in show, and I like to talk to you and about you, and in a minute I'll give the numbers, which I don't have right in my hands here, and I should do, right? And I'm a sound person, and one of the ways in which we shift our energy and the way we create our reality is through the use of sounds. And I like to use the sounds right at the beginning of the show in order to create a healing, purified space so you and I have a chance to work with ourselves as a vehicle of vibration and really set the tone where we want it to be set and not just be running the collective consciousness, energetic, meaning sometimes it gets really heavy out there and you want to be able to clear yourself, clear the space you're in, and start every moment anew. So one of the ancient Sufi techniques for establishing your presence and for healing, a lot of healing work is done by this, is to spend a few minutes singing your name. So I thought we'd start, we'll spend like a minute and a half or 2 minutes singing our name. I ended my last week's show doing that, although I was way over time and my clock was wrong, so I hadn't realized that. So I don't know how many of you paid attention to that, but I promise you, if you do it, you're going to feel good. And also, if you do it to your animals, sing their names, they love it. I suppose the odd animal won't, but most of them really love it. Are you ready? Let's go. Take a deep breath. And, I want to call in the presence and my connection to the presence of the higher. That's our guides and angels, our higher selves, Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit. Good. Now spend a minute or two singing your name. I might change to sing other people's names as well. Veronica, 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 and Bob, Bob, Dawn, Dawn. Sabrina, 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 Monica, 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 and Jane. That feel? Do you feel a presence of self? Now, I jumped around and did the names of some of the people that we talked to, some of the people that are listening. And so maybe it didn't make my presence quite as firm. But if you do that in a room full of people, it's really amazing how people begin to feel and how each one there in the room establishes his or her presence that way. So now we're going to talk about calling forth. Everything that we talk about today has to do with energy. And we're going to talk about how we call in energy. We're also going to talk about manifesting and the kinds of things, the kinds of issues, the kinds of psychological reactions, emotional reactions, expectations, suppressions, and so on that we have hidden within our body, mind, our vehicle of transformation or our vehicle of, if you will, designing your life. What's locked in there that can block your manifestation? We're going to explore what that is in this little workshop. We're going to explore what it is to move common blocks to manifestation. We're going to move some energy with the help of the guides and angels. We're hopefully going to pull out of you, kind of like pulling certain threads out of a weaving, some of the undercurrent issues that are in your subconscious, in your body, mind, in your cellular structure, wherever they've come from. And this heightened the rate at which, or improved the rate at which we manifest what it is we want. You know, I've heard people complaining about The Secret, saying all it is about getting stuff and having what you want. Nah, not at all. What it's about is, a lot of us know who've been working on manifestation for at least 100 years or 1,000. All it is learning to create the reality, a subjective, a chosen reality, and not to be victimized by reality. And of course, the most obvious way of being successful is to manifest the sweater you wanted right now. I mean, those are the things that a lot of us do to feel safe and powerful. So many are victimized by a sense of poverty or aging or health or whatever. If you can create your way out of it and have whatever you want, oh, golly gee, you know, then your whole life changes, and instead of being victimized, you're very proactive about what's going on the planet. A while ago, Bob and I were talking to the guides here. I was channeling, and the guides were talking about how 2012, and many, many people are talking about what on earth is going to happen at 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. My guides often say that it isn't so obvious. It's not like a very obvious and clear beginning and end, a big shocking event. But what it is a time by which our ability to create our reality needs to have been refined, because so much of reality is going to be slipping around. We hear all the time about how all of our past lives exist right now and so on, and these are, to me, paradoxical or enigmatic statements. They're wonderful, but they're not always empowering if you can't figure out what they mean to you in the practical level. And I guess that's what my mark is in the world, is I try to bring it home and make it a kitchen reality, so something that we can understand. But what I gather is by 2012, we're all going to be responsible in the moment for creating all kinds of reality, creating our way out of a pickle, creating our solutions for what it is that we're in the middle of. Whereas right now, we're still living a little bit of the old corporate mythology where you set yourself off in a track, and then holy mackerel, life either happens this way or this way, and it just comes to you. No, we're learning that to be a victim to life the way it's been is no longer going to be a practical or effective function. So if we want to get strong, and we want to get creative, and we want to have a lot of fun, and you want to dance and sing and get old with a great deal of enthusiasm, you want to learn a lot about creating your reality. Some things move very slowly. I understand that many of us are aging in spite of doing creative visualizations about being always young. And there are many who teach that we can actually rejuvenate our body at will. And I don't know how long it's going to take me to learn to do that, but I'm willing to work on it. But anyway, so that's enough of that for right now. What I just wanted to remind us is that we are headed toward a goal. And we also want to remind us that one of the other things we're wanting to be able to do is to pull out of our body mind the reactive energies that keep us plugged in to a very slow moving status quo and that block us from being able to create our reality. The other thing the guides were talking about today is that our brains, see, we're having to change our brains. Sometimes it's easier to change the mind than it is to change the brain. Because the brain is actually a very physical structure. And for a lot of us, our mind goes much more fast, much more flexibly than our physical structure. We haven't made it as plastic as it can be. However, cells are the underlying reality of our physical structure, are they not? So the guys were showing how, interestingly, the brain, and I often like it to a computer, and they were saying, well, that's not quite right. The brain itself is almost comfortable with a certain pattern of the way energy and information has been stored in it. And the cellular response is, well, we all know that we hear it's holographic, right? So the cellular response holds the pattern, and things are very thick and kind of regular in the brain. And so if we look at that thickness, all right, then we apply to it the energy of releasing and clearing, and we will call in some frequencies and apply those as well, then the brain quickens. And the guides say it's much easier for you to change what your brain patterning is than you think. It's much easier. Interesting, I say, than you think, because it's the thinking that actually can create a shift and a release in the brain patterns. It's really interesting. So we're going to play today with calling in energies, with making changes in our thinking. We're going to do creative visualization. We're going to use the structures which the guides taught us to enhance the rate of our manifestation. It's not really a manipulation. It's a, that word just came shooting through my head. I'm going, well, I guess the manifestation structures are a tool for manipulating the way your reality is playing out. And our reality is playing out a certain degree from the way we've been programmed in the past or allowed ourselves to be programmed or even indeed programmed ourselves, whether it's cellular or cellular. Anyway, that's a lot of explanation. So let's start off by, I think we'll start by doing the structures. So join me for a couple of minutes of meditation in which you will put some movies of what it is you want to create. For those of you who saw The Secret, you remember the pictures of the guy who was imagining the car he wanted to have, and he's sitting in his living room pretending he's in the car, and he's going, and he's really sort of steering it, and that's because his whole body-mind is involved in his creative visualization. So we're going to do these structures, which are vibrational, organized, a way of organizing energy, so its vibrational patterns enhance the way you play out your little movies in this structure and where you see yourself doing whatever it is you want to create. Feel it. Really imagine yourself like that fellow with his imagined car, actually living these little movies that you're going to create in your structures. So are you ready? This is a manifestation tool, and it ought to be fun. It's a meditation, and it's fun. So let's, everybody, take a deep breath. And imagine above your head a golden ball, and say it's about a mile and a half above your head, and it's a radiant golden ball. And now below your spine, 8 to 10 feet, another golden ball. Now from the upper ball, down in through the top of your head, down your spine to the lower golden ball, you drop a filament, a radiant filament of light. And oh my, it's very bright. You can feel it in your body. I sure can. And you know, it often turns a bit green, which is a bit of the noble gas involvement. I don't know what all the gases are, the elements in this filament of light, but it's strong. And now around your waist, a whole series of golden balls. They're about 8 feet in radius from your body. Oh my, they make a beautiful sparkling circle. And from the upper golden ball to the circle around your waist, many, many pink filaments of light. Many, many, many. So you have a beautiful radiant pink canopy above. And then from your waist to the ball below your spine, another pink canopy, but this one's upside down. And now inside of the structure that you've just created, create an etheric crystal ball and feel its power. It's got the feminine womb power. You can feel it around your body. It's feminine, isn't it? It's a womb-like, creative environment. And inside of that, there's a double tetrahedron. So that's a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And you're inside of it. It's a diamond-like shape. And now you spin, spin, and spin in this structure. Spin and spin in your double tetrahedron. And whilst you do, you see in front of you this magical screen, and this is where you play your movies, little movies of all kinds of things that you want to create in your world, how you want to feel. You can also create for other people in there, anything you want to manifest. So off you go and do your little movies, and I'm doing mine. And some of them are about self-esteem, rejuvenation, creative expression, and the flow of resources, becoming a vital force in the economic world or in the political world. Being a vital force in all aspects of your own life. And feel the energy of your spinning tetrahedron and of the light in your creations. And you see yourself, see that interview or that audition that you thought you were being bypassed. Just see yourself being called, being drawn in magically. Maybe you see someone interfering and bringing it to you. Interfering positively. And of course we have happiness, don't we? Draw your attention back into the room. Sometimes when you're doing this by yourself and really quietly, you can go on for quite a while. Is your tetrahedron still spinning? So what is it you would like to manifest? I'm going to get you to call in. And the numbers are right there. I have to look for the numbers right now. But the numbers are right there on the first page of this BBS radio. Isn't BBS just wonderful? And I'm also offering a raffle. Nobody emailed me last time. My email is veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Entwistle has no H in it. And what I was raffling off last week was a half-hour session with me. And all you were supposed to say to me in your application for this little raffle is, what did you think of open hearts? What does it mean to you to open your heart? Very often, as we begin to channel or as we begin to work with people, they'll say to somebody, open your heart. Because as we're talking about manifesting and wanting to create that which you desire, many people encounter a resistance to their manifestations. And sometimes when you check your heart, or you check your chest, which is the center of courage, inspiration, flights of fancy, unconditional love, losses in love, gains, you know, creation, and so on. You find a tension around there, where some people are very loved and don't feel it. And that's when your heart needs to be opened. And that is one of the things that we often have that blocks, if you will, our manifestation. So here's some numbers. Call in to ask a question, and if you do call in, what happens is you get a mini reading. We look at you, we see what's going on with you, you tell me what your key issue is right now, and I can tell you, the guides will show you, oh goody, we have a caller, I'll just finish this line and we'll talk to you. Usually the guides will talk about maybe your soul journey, the energy that's blocking you, and what it is you can release. So call in 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-810-8322 in Canada. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Veronica. This is Brian from Indiana.
Hi, Brian. It's evening there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about a little after 7.
So,
how are you doing?
What's
today?
Your question this week? I'm doing really well.
I just done that meditation with you. It felt so warm.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yes, I can feel the energy all around me, just kind of like a warm, soothing energy.
I'm glad. And you know what those structures are really good at is if you're in a pinch or a bind sometimes, and you can just throw the structure up quickly, and it's really amazing how much your body, your whole life starts to take on less pressure.
Yeah, it feels like my chakra system just lights up when I do that. Feels good.
Great. Well, your chakra system's pretty good. Did you sing your name this time?
Yes, I did.
Great. What happened when you did that?
It feels good. It feels like just a nice, warm melody, you know, when you sing it.
It's sort of interesting. It's like planting a flag on your space of vibration, isn't it?
Yeah, it zooms in on the person. It really gets their attention when you speak their name.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
So what's your question today, Brian? Are you got something to share?
I did email you here, but it was a little too late. I know you're talking about people emailing in about that challenge that you gave out about opening the heart, what it means to us, the listener. And I sent mine a little late today, so I hope you get it.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll be looking forward to getting it. Yeah.
And my question this week is, I know in the past shows we've talked about my star heritage,
mm-hmm.
where I came in from.
Yes.
Syrian and Pleiadian. But I was also wondering, you mentioned a week ago about I had connections with Andromeda.
Yes, I see it again today. It's really strong.
And I would like to know a little more about that, who I was or what one that just stands out.
Well, it's very interesting because I think in this life, you're going to be a healer, aren't you?
Yes.
In this life, you have to become very conscious of these things. For some reason, it's right in your soul journey that you're going to bring strands of wisdom from those experiences to elevate people that you work with. You're going to be very humbled by the work you do, meaning you almost have to, how can I put this? It's like you're here on a mission, and something about Andromeda is about loving people and not being a participant in the human consciousness. And that sounds like a crazy thing to say, doesn't it?
It kind of makes sense.
So you might find in your life, and I know you're quite young yet.
Yes.
You might find in your life that you're not really allowed to belong, that you'll have to belong by standing aside. And on the side, you'll develop such a perspective of what the human condition is like. And that's an Andromeda thing coming up in you. It's like a drive in you to be beyond the human condition. That doesn't mean you have to be holier than thou or anything, you know.
Is it kind of going into, instead of being the one on the sideline, is it kind of being the one taking kind of like a leadership role?
It is as well, except that you're going to find yourself not really engaging. This is how it looks today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to find yourself not really being able to engage in the human dynamics as much as some people.
Mm-hmm.
And in its type of leadership, it's more like someone who observes and holds his arms out for people to feel safer than someone who's just up on the podium talking, you know?
Is it kind of moving in, if your guides, can you ask your guides or angels, is it a perspective of moving into kind of like observing without judgment?
Yes. And holding a great deal of compassion.
Yes.
But I don't see you undergoing a lot of the karmic doodah that a lot of people have to go through.
Yes.
And I don't know if your life is going to be easier or harder than people. It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the fact that you're going to have to be outside of the belonging part. Have you already felt that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's hard, isn't it?
It is, because you want to be a part of something, but then if you're on the sidelines watching, looking inward, it's almost like you have like this aquarium. It's like this fish, And I'm the one who's outside looking at the world in the fish tank, you know.
And but you're the only one in town that can talk about water then, aren't you?
Hopefully not, but...
Well, you know what I mean? Like if the fish are in the water, they can't talk about it, but you
can. They can't see it, but I can, right.
Yeah, exactly. So you could say in a sweet and different way, and I've applied this to myself at times, that your belonging is by being the one who can't be immersed. So you see that the equation needs your presence, so that means you belong, but you won't belong by merging into the consciousness of the bunch. And you will teach and you laugh. You're going to be entertaining, you're funny, you're uplifting, you're very nurturing, you're really kind. And sometimes you get grief struck because you can't quite fit. And maybe just knowing that makes it easier for you to presence yourself as someone who shouldn't really fit, or else you'll get caught in the water and not be able to describe it.
Yes.
You know? And you have an entertainer in you. Do you know what I'm saying by that?
Yes. Kind of like just a nice, sweet nature about me. Just to, I don't know. I can't pinpoint it, I guess.
Well, I see in your later 30s, you're just very, you're going to do some kind of entertainment thing, whether you're going to be in a play or do some kind of dance thing. I don't know what it is, but it's quite uplifting to me, and it's quite spiritual, but it's goofy.
Yes.
Do I have fun?
That's great. Do I have any a strong connection coming from or a guide that's trying to get my attention from Andromeda?
Yes, and you know what? I was going to talk today about calling it forth, because as soon as you said that, he shows up. It's a he. And he appears to be an energy being rather than, of course, they always appear to me like this. He's an energy being who's a very radiant frequency, and he also is very strict with you.
Okay. Is this more like
meaning,
a guide, or is this more like a guide or an angel?
A guide.
Okay.
And the thing about guides, from my perspective, they are often beings who epitomize that which you strive for. And he's deeply, deeply loving, has insights, has really powerful perspective on how your role in the world wants to be. It's not like should be. It's like you have a drive in you that wants to be in a certain role. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to say that he is the epitome of what it is you want to do. That is, he's very deeply loving and quite strict about it, so that there's no confusion in you about what it is you're doing and what works for you and what doesn't. So you'll find as soon as you're off kilter, is like you'll feel like, this isn't me. This isn't who I can be. And he'll make sure that you feel that.
Is this from the Unicorn Kingdom?
I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a really strong being from, I feel like he's from Andromeda.
Wow.
As I see him, he changes shape. He looks like a small energy being, and then he looks like a very tall energy being, but he's very much a being. I don't see him as an animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Perspective and perceptions are often subjective, so that's how I'm perceiving him.
Yes. Do you see any colors around him?
Yes, I do. A lot of gold, white, and very light blue, and there's a streak of purple in there.
Wow.
And there's a presence about his eyes. You see, I don't see like a photograph. I see where his eyes are. Like if I'm looking at you as a person, I often forget what you look like because I'm seeing what your eyes mean to me, sort of thing. It's hard to explain. And his eyes are so deep and full of mystery and consciousness, and some ways grief, because there has been a lot of grief in the history, you know.
And there's a way there also. Does he want me to connect with him on a stronger vibration?
Yes.
Okay.
But he says this, that you actually do listen.
Yes.
You're a very good student.
Yes.
And you have to be, because you don't want to waste time. You're very young to be coming to what you're coming to, and you don't want to waste time in this life. You got something to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's very uplifting. Yes. Thank you so much, Veronica.
Well, many blessings. I've enjoyed your calls over the last few weeks, and I look forward to your email.
Okay. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Many of us have our consciousness of our guidance. We all have guidance, and it's pretty interesting how they show up in everybody. Everyone has it, but sometimes they show up in the form of synchronicities, those experiences that seem like major coincidences, and sometimes they show up in, oh, they're standing front and center in great outfits and people describe them that way. My understanding is that it's that energy flow, conscious energy flow with a higher and higher impact. And in time, we don't seem, well, I don't know about this, but oftentimes I feel like in time, we don't need to be paying attention. I'll just be with you in one moment. So much with what their personalities and so on are, just the consciousness that we're guided from the dimensions, and we're guided with such perspective, wisdom, and consciousness of who we are. It's very loving. So good afternoon. You're on the air. Maybe it's evening for you.
Well, it's early evening, yep, 7:30.
Great. Well, welcome.
Hi, this is Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Hello. I have to say my curiosity is piqued by Brian's calls. I've listened
Good.
To his calls, and, you know, just the connections that you two speak about are, you know, it's like, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and he's very good about revealing his connection to his spirituality, isn't he?
Yes. I guess my question is, you know, are you able to see that for me as well and maybe fill me in on kind of my spiritual heritage or what's going on with me?
You have, we've talked before, haven't we? Because I feel like there's an echo here. I wonder if you've got your computer on or is it up? It's just the phones? Okay.
Okay, how's this? Is that any better?
Yeah, it is. There's still an echo, but I'm going to ignore it, okay?
Oh, sorry.
They show that you have the strongest connection from the Pleiades right now. That's not uncommon these days. There's a lot of us with that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you have a huge grief connection on that lineage. You also have a very Arcturian connection. You know, we're like, I always say, we're like Canadians and Americans. We come from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And out in the universe, we come from many planetary systems with some major influences, which are the heritage of our species, right? So I'm looking at you and seeing the Pleiadian historical connection for your soul is very, very rich in a kind of, let's see. You have a compassion, and you've had a lot of grief, haven't you, Julia?
I guess you could say that, yeah.
They're showing that your Pleiadian connection, in your soul journey, there's this streak of grief and being touched by, I want to say the needs of humanity or the emotional needs of humanity is very deep in you. And it's so deep and so rich, some of it's personal, but some of it is actually for the sake of the consciousness. You understand what I mean? Some of it you're going to transform in this lifetime in order to understand and lift and help other people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a depth, and I would say that your Pleiadian connection, your soul history from the Pleiades, has more of that kind of deep, the quality of understanding. I guess I'd say loss, gain, the painful parts that enrich us and also drive us to look for something better, but sort of have some hurt. You have a lot of that deep within you and a great deal of wisdom and knowing coming from it. How old are you now, Julie? I asked you that before, but I forget.
I'm 45.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're saying by the time you're about 50, you really open up to gifting many with your healing, your capacity to see. When we can see and know people, and that means a real understanding of what they're radiating, we can really help people move swiftly, and you're going to do that. You're just going to be pushing them lickety split to get out of their muck and to shift a lot of their reactions to become freer and more able to create their reality. That's
wow.
Kind of your lineage. Also, you have a strong Arcturian nature, and I don't quite understand it here because it's fast and short little snippets, but it's like you just have a talent for understanding that this is no nonsense, that you know exactly why people are having these experiences and how to unhook them in such a way as they use the experience to loft their whole next a service in the world or something. So you're going to touch a lot of people in this lifetime, Julia.
Well, I know it. It seems like I've been on like a healing quest or something for myself.
Good.
I wonder if this is kind of tied in and I'm sort of working through my own stuff first. And
yeah, because we have to get out of that, the drives in the subconscious to keep reproducing the reality that we believe in through reactions, like we have a reaction from abuse, which keeps attracting abuse. We have all these incredible reactions, and you're pulling them out bit by bit. And I'll tell you, you're going to feel like you're an angel after a while because you'll be able to fly.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Nice.
So keep working on yourself. Get self-absorbed, as people call it. I call it self-centering, actually, and continue to work on yourself because the lightning that's coming up in your central beingness right now is quite strong. You've come on a mission, my dear.
Really? Wow.
And it's not that hard now, because I think the hardest parts have happened. Would you say that?
Yeah, it's been an interesting adventure this life has been. So.
I know, it's really good to remember what the goals are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the goals are to extricate ourselves from those drives to keep taking us through our patterns, you know? The deeper beliefs that we have. So I watch your belly area. Forgive me for being so personal.
That's all right.
But
that's
your subconscious. And as we're talking about it, your belly shows a deep inheld holding back of a kind of a well of grief and frustration and suspicion of humanity. And it's not always sticking out there. It's just that it's coming up to show me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written on my notes before this show that we want to talk about something that a lot of us have in common that we could release that would increase the rate of our manifestation. So can we work on that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so let's...
Well, do you want
I
to
might
hang up
thank you for
listen?
Your call and ask you to hang up, and then we'll work on this particular issue.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your call, and email me and let me know how you're doing and what you think of an open heart.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
Okay, Julia.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was a good call, too, because it reminds me of how we are actually a product of so much consciousness, and we're trying to take that and refuel ourselves that we can create who we really prefer to be, or what is the product that we want to create now. I mean, it's so exciting. So the way she shows up, it's time for us to all look at and pull out a deep grief reaction that sits in the belly, just sort of below the navel, just around the dantian, for those of you who understand the Eastern body mapping. I want us all to just drop in there, drop into your body, because your body is like a filing cabinet, and it stores certain reactions in certain parts. And what we really want to do is clear that reaction, because it impedes, gets in the way of our manifestations. So the first thing we do is wrap ourselves in light. Got to wrap yourself in light, because you and I can take each other on, even though we're thousands of miles apart, and we're on the radio. Remember, this is the internet. We're connected all over the world. Incidentally, how come nobody's called us from other countries yet? I've made that connection and that intention over and over again. So those of you who are listening from other remote countries in the world, a long distance from the Pacific Northwest, which is where I'm in, feel free to call in a while and let us know you're listening. All right, no matter where you are on the planet, wrap yourself in light. Wrap yourself in light. And I have a very special girlfriend who always says, I am not available to take on anyone else's energy. So again, wrap yourself in light, and we are not available to take on someone else's energy. Good work. Deep breaths. Yeah, I have to do it too. Mm-hmm. Deep breath. Okay. Now I want you to focus on, let's see, we're going to ask yourself to feel all that energy that is of, let's see, that's probably too complicated. We want to feel something simple enough. We want to feel all the energy left over from your mother. Let's just do your mother. How's that? Let's call up all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your mother, because that you pick up her grief, her loss, her sadness, as well as her inspiration and her wonderful cookies and all the rest of it that our wonderful mothers did for us. But we also took on a lot of their stuff, so that's part of our social programming that holds us back. So let's just call up all the energy that comes from our soul contract with our mother. And pay attention to where it is in your body and how it feels. Now, you might get it in your arms or your feet. Or Julia, I wanted Julia's, she had a pattern in the belly I wanted to come up, but I'm not sure if it's coming up, Julia, with your, with the mother programming. But anyway, we're going to keep calling up the mother. Somebody's got it in the arms big time, which tells you that because of the programming with your mother, it gave you beliefs and reactions about giving and receiving. Maybe you learned to receive easily and effortlessly, but some of you learned that you couldn't quite receive and that you're afraid to give, or that under certain circumstances of giving and receiving, you're suddenly lobotomized, you can't function, your arms are dead. It's different when your arms go dead versus when they get really buzzy. So just pay attention to what's going on with yours. If you're buzzy, you're probably finding that you're a little insecure about how to give and receive. If they go dead, it's like you're flummoxed, like, I don't know what to do here. So let's call up all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your mother. Okay, some of you got a sore throat. Somebody's got a sternum. The chest area just went dead inside, big, heavy. Exaggerate it, always exaggerate it, exaggerate it. And let's ask for increased help from our guides and angels. Yeah, as we command total release of this energy now, total release of this energy now, total release. And now ask yourself to bring up the light gargle, or that wonderful spiraling light, and run it through your body. Whoosh, whoosh, and run that light through your body, and run the light through your body until you've taken charge of that. And I recommend that you do the mother energy daily. I used to say this all the time to clients. Clear the mother energy every single day, because it's not mom's fault. She could be the best mom in the whole universe. That doesn't matter. It's that we have the energy overlay. Now, we were talking to Brian and Julia, both of them. We were talking about star connections, and both of them have drives. Okay, drives are things that go on inside of us that run us in a way that make us attracted to certain things over other things and so on. They both have really intense drives that come from, well, Julia even more actually, that come from our galactic lineage, one from the Pleiades, one from Andromeda. And you both have the guides that can help you answer the call of those drives. But you see, those drives have gone on through many, many lifetimes. They become soul themes, what I like to call soul themes. And those are the themes that help us choose a lot of the imagery that we're going to be attracted to in this life, choose the kind of people. It's not the only thing. Sometimes it's our simple reactions that force us to choose certain kinds of people. But these soul drives are ones that are really relentless. They're really hard-driving energies that run through us and keep us stable amongst the incredible number of possibilities on this planet, engaging in the lives that we do. They keep us kind of stable in our choices, so we pick a lot of the same things. But the soul drives are meant to learn to explore certain aspects of consciousness, and both of you are doing that. Both of these people are working on purification of their goals and intentions so that they can give service in a way that is uniquely aligned with that which they know is their own higher gift. Isn't that exciting? All right, I'm going to give the numbers again, 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S., and if you're in Canada, 888-810-8322, and if you're anywhere else in the world, 530-876-3222. And my name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'd like you to email me and tell me what you think it is to have an open heart. And my email address is veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. That's ENTWISTLE.com. What I'm going to do is read these, collect them. I wanted to say thank you. There's a wonderful woman named Dolores who sent me one last week. And thank you. I appreciate that. And I would like to have a bunch of them before I'm going to pick which one is the winner and gets a free reading, a half an hour reading from me and my guides and angels, and it's all about you. So call in and talk again about your soul journey and what it is you're doing. Now let's see. One of the things the guide said that I thought was amazing and was wonderful and was very healing, they said that there is no accident, it's no mistake that the population on the planet has a great percentage of people that are getting older, that have already raised their kids. So we got a very large aging population, which has been fraught with some difficulties, like what do people do? We used to think we retired at 60 or 65. Now it looks like it might be 100. Who knows? And the guide said that it's interesting that there's a consciousness shift here. We talked about 2012. By 2012, we're going to have to be creating more and more of our reality with our mind, because not just with our minds, but with our minds, our hearts, our visions, and so on, our energy, our conscious use of energy, that's the other thing. And we're going to find that the world is not only going faster and faster, but the concurrent realities, things are slipping into place. There's probably going to be a lot more multidimensional stuff happening, whether we're going to have alien beings coming in the full physical, or are they coming in as vibrational beings? I have theories on this, but I'm never quite sure, and I'm not trying to be scary here, but some of it's very exciting, is definitely going to happen. So what we're doing, oh goody, we've got another caller, I'll just finish this thought. What we're doing apparently in this aging population is kind of preparing for a time of self-exploration and wisdom seeking, and a kind of a gentling force of wisdom around the planet. It's not a mistake or an accident that we have a huge proportion of aging people at this time. It's our advantage. The guides say it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I'm excited about it too, and I'm aging tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday, so now I know I'm 101. We have a caller. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Veronica. My name is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Well, one of the reasons I'm calling is that I've been having physical problems for the last couple of years. And my daughter has been in touch with you and has talked to me about calling you, so I thought I would do that.
Good stuff. And can I have your age? I'll tell you why I ask age, is because time is hard to get in this
Yes.
kind of world, and sometimes age gives us a bit of a sense of timeline.
I was going to tell you my age when you were talking about the aging population, and I thought that was probably relevant. I'm 78.
73?
78.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you could live a long time yet, right, Mary?
I could. I'm planning on it.
This
on
is
it.
One.
I would like to improve my quality of life.
Yeah.
And I will confess to you now, Veronica, that much of the vocabulary which you use, which on your program, which I listened to last week and again today, I'm not familiar with it, so I hope you'll bear with me.
Oh, yes, I hope you'll bear with us.
Sure.
Well, we're all exploring here, and we're all creating, and we're very dynamic. So tell me about your something about your health. You've got something going on in your back. What I see is that your major problem?
Yes, it is, yes. I've had a lot of surgery, and it's left me with a lot of pain, which I'm trying to find the answer to.
And what happened? Was there an accident? Okay, when I'm going back in time.
There was no event, no accident, no real reason for this back problem to develop, and I tried everything I could think of before submitting to surgery, and I couldn't seem to find help anywhere, so I did have the surgery, and it was supposedly very successful, but it's left me with all this pain, and I'm on a lot of opiates, you know, trying to kill the pain. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. So I'm really looking for another way out of this.
Now, Mary, have you gone into a whole bunch of emotional exploration?
I guess I haven't.
One of the things that's very interesting about your surgery is that there's something built up in the base. Now, when I'm talking about chakras, I'm talking about energy centers that hold programs, meaning beliefs and reactions that came from a long time ago.
Yeah.
And in your base chakra, which is at the base of your spine, you have a lot of, I don't know if you had a lot of abuse or something, but there's a lot of almost condemning energy, as if you'd had, did you have a lot of condemnation when you were small?
A certain amount, yeah.
Because I'm seeing this, that it's very interesting. When we run, this is something you might want to explore. The energy body has a lot of the information first, and then it goes down into the body, okay? So that, for example, when you finally get back surgery and they shift the vertebrae, they haven't shifted the energy body or the emotional body, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And it downloads. This sounds kind of crazy to physical doctors yet, but it's getting more clear to them. But it's that we keep downloading the same pressure, so no matter what the surgeries were and the success in the physical, we're still taking on the weight of the energy body. And I'm looking at yours going, oh, my goodness, you still have a huge pressure on you from that which you believe in your energy world, you see?
Yeah.
And it's not as weird as it sounds. It's new language.
Uh-huh.
But is it something you've delved into before, one time before?
Well, when you talk about delving into, do you mean like psychotherapy, that kind of thing? Because I have done some of that.
Yeah. I would say anybody who, whether it's a psychotherapist or what, that does a link between your emotional structure and your physical structure. Okay, teaching you that you're holding a pattern. First of all, you took care of a lot of people, didn't you?
Well, I've had a family, yeah. You know, I've raised 3 children.
And you did a good job.
Wonderful.
The thing you did do that was a problem for you is they're telling me this, that you, they being my guides and your guides actually, have had huge blocks in your thinking about what your own world and your own process is. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've been holding up other people, but there's something deep down, which we already talked about, recorded in your base chakra, which is your survival chakra, which is judging you all the time. And that, over time, causes a bit of a wear and tear, if not a lot of it. And I feel like in your soul journey in this lifetime, you have a really strong, like you're a harmonizer. And there's something about you that's very creative, artistic, and has the ability to bring harmony to dissonant groups. I don't know if you know that.
Mm.
And there's it's an art, actually, in people. And they're saying that instead of using it, it's like you haven't used it in a way that elevates you and releases you. You've used it in a sacrificial way. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes.
And they're saying that that problem can really wear on the spine. This is kind of a thumbnail because we're on the radio,
right. Uh-huh.
But I just see that you've got, and you're only 78. I mean, you have the ability to live a lot longer.
Yeah.
And the other thing the guides want to talk to you about is that your brain pattern is now aligned, and they were talking about the brain earlier on the show, it's now aligned for pain. And I suspect, you know, I always recommend the book The Edge Effect, and there's a number of brain chemistry books,
uh-huh.
But I suspect if you started doing the amino acid treatment in directly to the brain, in the lobes of the brain that need to be healed so they don't have to live with pain. You know, the brain runs a program, and once there's this pain, you can use things like GABA and several other things to change the brain patterning so that it's not so susceptible to having physical pain all the time. There's so much that can be done, but it's kind of out there. It's not what you normally hear about, you know?
Right.
Because I see your temporal lobes, especially on the right, absolutely used to doing the pain thing. They're running it like a program.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm going, I think if you worked with, you might want to get a book by Judith Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F.
Okay.
She teaches in that book and probably other books. I haven't really read much of her stuff, but she teaches working, she's a doctor actually, and she works with subtle energy first and then into the physical. And so she's a really good person to sort of start with if you haven't done much of that learning yet.
Right, I haven't, yeah.
And I think you'll find it helps you so much. It's quite stunning. You can start working with your energy body and literally shift what's going on in the physical.
Wow. So Dr. Orloff's book is that the title, Subtle Energy, or that's what the subject matter is?
That's the subject matter.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you went on Amazon, there'd be little descriptions
okay.
of her books. But
yeah.
One of them, which I had but gave to somebody who was in pain, actually. I can't remember the name of it, but it was basically a primer or a beginner's understanding of energy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I think that would help you a lot because you have a lot of vitality and you have a lot of service yet to give.
Oh, well, that's encouraging, yeah.
And remember this, the service that you want to give is like your creativity. So it serves us first. When we're served first, we won't get worn out, you
yeah,
see?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Sense, yeah.
But I've enjoyed your call, and I hope we helped you unhook something because you don't need to have pain your whole life.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all your help.
Well, many blessings to you, and it's time for us to say goodbye.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again, Veronica. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary. I'd love you all to email me, Veronica, at veronicaantwistle.com, and I'm raffling off a half-hour session with myself. Of course, that's such a valuable prize. Tune in Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Where I join Jackie Salvitti and we talk about more on the shadow, and I send you much love and many, many blessings.